CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs. It's December the 15th. Can you believe it, Phoebe?
Did you miss me?
I did. Of course I missed you. I think our guests missed you more.
Yeah.
Because, well, you really are the life and I think I'm going to say soul. Is that okay? Am I allowed to say that?
I missed you too. And CEOs. I missed having conversations with great people. You know how we roll on Future CEOs.
We really, really do have fantastic conversations all the time. Why do we have them, Phoebe?
You know what? Because we need to educate ourselves first.
Yes.
As the hosts of our show and just empower and motivate and advocate entrepreneurism in Africa.
We have to interrupt this conversation.
Because somebody turned 3 today.
Welcome into the Cliff Central studio. Welcome to Future CEOs. Slicker, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
We're so happy. Congratulations, you turned 3, Slicker on Life.
Yeah, we did. We turned 3. It's a party. Sorry I'm late, by the way.
No, we're glad you're here. Yeah.
What we were just doing is we were running through our top 10 moments in studio or out of studio for Future CEOs in the last year. Maybe we can turn to you and what has been your top experience in the last year running Slicker online and?
Please introduce yourself to our Future CEO guests first.
What's up, Future CEO guests? You know, I'm the most weirdest CEO out here in these streets.
You're the best.
Yeah, the most chill. I guess for me, it was always like a plan to build, but I sold a part of the company also. So the acquisition was quite an achievement. You know, I started a lot of businesses and I just realized that I'd always reach a ceiling because it'll get to a point where I can't take it a step further. And I strategically built this to go, yo, I must be ready to sell when the time is right, to take me to the next level, because the vision is bigger than me and what everyone can see right now.
That's an exciting place to be, where you can see a vision, or there's this, sometimes you can't see it, sometimes you just feel it.
Yes.
There's something more there.
Yeah.
And we take risks. We do big things to prepare ourselves for, as you just said, this next step, this next level. How does it feel to be in that kind of scenario, though? I mean, there's fear, right? Of course there's fear.
Yeah, of course. I've got a thing, you know, to avoid calling myself a genius, I always say, in fact, it's just how it is.
Okay.
Like God speaks to me, you know, in many ways, and he spoke to me today, and I think this morning, and he told me what I need to do. That's why I was a bit late, because you know, when he speaks, he just doesn't stop. So you're writing and you're writing and you're writing.
Okay.
I was in that process.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? So you know, I mean, he's on my WhatsApp. He was on my, you know, he comes through. He goes, yo, this is yours. You know what I mean? So that's what it is. I mean, it's I've learned to not like attach myself to things and the occurring of things and what do they mean. I'm just trying to understand, what do I mean? You know, am I coming through? You know what I mean? To everybody, too. Am I doing what I really want to do? You know what I mean?
I guess if you want to connect with those around you, you really have to be able to connect with yourself first. That's what I hear coming out here.
Exactly. Once again, I had that conflict in my head that this morning, which these conflicts I have. I know what's out there in the world, but I think I'm built to create what needs to be a part of this world. And whether you call it Squatter Camp, whether you call it Slick on Life, those things never existed. Once you understand that's your role, then how you grow is you start saying, then where how far do I take it, and what is impossible. So once you know what you're supposed to do, all you got to do, you got to go. So where is the sky? You know what I mean? Because you're in the right place. But when you don't know what to do, you know, you're looking for the ground and the sky. You know, so I think I'm blessed that without me knowing, I've always known what to do. From 6 years old, I was listening to Michael Jackson collecting music, and all my life. I've just collected. Slick on life is us collecting music.
It is, it is.
From 6 years old, I was doing what I was supposed to be doing for the rest of my life.
It is.
With Michael Jackson shirts and stuff and dancing. Couldn't grow the hair because, you know, it was the rough times, you know. The last time I had that type of hair was my baby hair. But then, you know, after that, it was just rough, you know, rough hair is rough from then on.
So it's 3 years today. Yes. Congratulations.
Yeah, this week we're 3 years. 13th of December. Once again, you know, you can't question. I was born on the 13th of April. So, you know, these numbers, like, all for me add up. It's like, you know, I never, you can never say you chose your life. You can't say I chose to be the winning sperm. And you can't say, you can never say you choose your destiny.
Well, I'm going to try and claim that. I think, but I like the point that you're making is that there is a certain something inside of you that you must just listen to. And if you don't listen to it, you end up being perhaps a 7 out of 10 or a 6 out of 10.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If you listen, you end up being perhaps an 8 or a 9 or a 10. Well, are we saying you're like a 10?
No, I'm saying that, like, you know, I'm a 0 in everyone else's perspective and in everyone else's, but I'm a 10 in mine, you know what I mean? In my path,
nice.
And not only that, a 10, it's just a 10 that's looking to be a 11, that's looking to be a 12. You know, if it just gets that waking up, that yo, you're going to wake up the next morning, then that 10 is asking for 11. And you know what I mean? So you know, you keep on moving. As long as you wake up, your destiny is asking you to be better. That's what I feel.
Tell us about a time when you weren't listening, though. So there must have been, there have been times where you've failed or you have struggled or you have been a 3 instead of a 10 to yourself and to those around you.
What's interesting is that I've always been listening, you know.
You said 6 years old, you felt that feeling.
Yeah, I've always been listening. What was interesting, though, is when I wasn't aware that I was listening. And when you're not aware you're listening, that's when you think that it's you.
Okay.
That's when you think that, like, you know, you the man. You know what I mean? Everything you have, you base it on yourself. And that's why you want to go out and show everybody everything you have. And tell everybody everything you have, you know. But immediately when you actually realize that it's your path, it's what you need to do, Even what people think is great, you go, I know where I gotta go. That's not it. You know what I mean?
Klibi, how do you do that, though? So you get into a certain point in your career, your life, and let's call it the stratosphere. You know, you're so close to getting out there into the universe, but you're at this level where you're looking up, but actually there's a bit of a ego thing going on. How do you avoid that? How do you continue listening versus thinking that it's yourself? Because you've had that in your career.
You know, in the show before us, Unplugged and In Charge,
yes,
we're talking about the good and bad side of social media. So, yeah, on some, you can look at it and think that, oh my gosh, that person has made it, they're there. But that's only like a photo snapshot of their entire life. And I think too far often, as entrepreneurs, we try to go on the same vibrations and same energy levels as other people do, and we're on our own path and we're on our own journey. And I think that sometimes you just need to shut off from everything else and just be focused on really what you want to do and just be true and your true authentic self. And Sia and I have known each other for such a long time, and you've always just been that authentic guy. And from squatter camp to what you're doing now and to wherever, and we're going to ask you, where do you see yourself in 5 years time, you know what I mean? Because you really have big dreams of grabbing the African continent and bringing that content to Africans and for the musicians as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think that, like, you know, we have a responsibility to tell the African story. And one of the ways to tell the story is the African story is not a historical story. It's a today story.
Context.
You know, the African story is not what you see in Parliament, but that's the one that will get the emphasis. You know what I mean? The African story is actually like it's Cliff Central. You know what I mean? It's Touch Central. It's that world. And then there's also another contrast where the African story is a person who literally can't even hasn't left Soweto before, and they think that's the world. They haven't even heard of data. They haven't even heard. That's the African story. So, you know, we literally chase a Western story because of its aspiration, but we don't put in the work to create to make our story worthwhile. I keep telling guys all the time, you know, when they talk about various things, I go, you know, we must never, ever, ever be disillusioned by the world. Everything in the world started from nothing. Everything in the world, everything that matters starts from nothing. And eventually it builds itself to a place where it matters. And the only way it gets there is because it loved itself enough to get to that point. And we are a country that, like, we don't love ourselves to get to a point where our things are aspirational.
I like that.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it's a lack of love. It's a lack of love, and you can't say it's something that you don't get taught at home. But I think it's a leadership. It's an energy. That's why I say Cliff Central is our story. More than, and I say this with all respect, more than what SABC is, because SABC is a historical story. You know, even if it's got black ownership, it's not, or black people are running it per se in government, but it's still not, it's not those black people's
story. Hashtag SABC inquiry.
You know, whether you look at multi-choice or whatever the case be, you know, NASPERS and all the history, the foundation. Whenever the foundation, whenever you can't tell me the truth, what's really at the bottom of your heart, but you always want to show what's at the surface, there's always going to be like a breakdown of communication. But here's Touch Central today. It can tell, and Cliff Central, it can tell a story from the beginning. It only as things grow, that's where the mistakes happen, and then we don't tell the whole truth. And when you don't tell the whole truth, you don't find a reason to be proud or be patriotic for something. So when you look at South Africa, it's got so much shame, you know, caused by history, caused by the current leadership, because there's so much shame that it's hard to be proud, you know. And it's because we're emphasizing all the things that lead the shame, but we don't emphasize the small stories that actually make us proud. You know what I mean?
Let's talk about a couple of your smaller stories, the ones that accumulate, the bricks in the wall, so to speak, that that really develop the structure that you now have. Take us back. Some people might make statements like, look, you're only you because you were in a band or a group did really well.
Fair.
But you're saying that there's a lot more to you than that. Just take us back to a little bit of this history and run us through it, please.
Yeah, well.
And the dad's taxi industry.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's started from, obviously, like with the family I come from, you know, like I'm the only kid that was born in Joburg. You know, my father finished school. If it's finishing school, he was finished with school in grade 2 or standard 1. It's not because of his choice, but he used to walk like 60, 70 k's to school every day. Yeah. You know, wow. My mother only finished her matric when she was 50 years old. You know, she went back to just like finish matric when she was 50 years old. You know, I literally had a 1 year of computer engineering in my life outside matric, and I couldn't carry on. Most of my primary school life was at St. Benedict's through a bursary that my mother had organized through some other people that helped us. So, you know, it's always been like that situation where we used to get food boxes and all that stuff once in a while from the people that were helping us. And for me, you know, beyond all that, like I said, music, with everything happening, music was what mattered to me, you know.
I know that.
And then, you know, I got to a point where I was I was doing Jam Alley, you know. I was like, when you look at all that what's that channel? That is ABC, I was doing all that stuff. But, you know, it literally, like, when I finished school, my mother literally told me, yo, we can't take you to school for any longer. It is what it is. Now, I'm from a community where the guys I call my friends, some of them are already, like, well, from Standard 6, you know, one of my first friends that really, really, like, hit me, like, got shot, like, at the back, like, he was already breaking into houses, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This was guy was in standard six. I want to talk about grade two, where it's a political thing, where, like, a whole family gets wiped, like the whole family, the mother, the kid, everybody gets, like, killed, you know, and burnt, the house get burnt, and you get told that as a kid that, you know, I'm in grade two, stand one, you get told that, you know, they came into the house, they killed you at the funeral. You're seeing four boxes there. And it's a bit like you grow up in an environment like that, that you know, you almost like everything that happens that's good, it's not normal, right? So you know, so yeah, I lost my real friend in standard six. Like, he was breaking into houses by matric, you know. I literally had like some of my friends like going to jail or whatever the case be, but for me, I was just always like making music, playing ball. So
yeah, you had a foundation, you had something that you were able to find an identity in.
That
really gave you a vision of who you could be.
Look, the Jam Alley money literally. Actually, my brother did IT or whatever, so the Jam Alley money made me buy some equipment. Mm-hmm. My brother, like, literally got me one of the computers. They were doing that hardware, PC engineering stuff. So he had a random computer, and he just got me cracked software. So I literally was always playing around that, you know. So I bought a keyboard, and then Lebo Sugar Smacks also asked his father, because his father, for a black South African that time, he was doing pretty well, you know. No BE, he was like a real entrepreneur, you know, as a black South African, you know. They were living in a Lovo, you know, like, you know.
Wow.
I'd never seen, when I went to his father's house, he was the first black person who I said, yo, this is money though, because my perception of people having money were guys who had spazzes. You know, guys who literally were selling like little things like in the houses, you know. But so for me, I'm like, yo, those guys have money. But yo, when I went to Lebo's father's house, I was like, yo. And Lebo's father was very supportive with Lebo. Lebo like bought into my dream, because he was an actor, and Scooty's nice. So he bought into my dream of music, and he asked his father to like give him some money. So we built the equipment there, and we built a little studio, and that's all I did. So Lebo literally left everything, stayed at my house. It was like my stuff and his stuff, you know. And, you know, we started making the music. That's why the music was so great, because I slept and lived, breathed in the studio. I literally wrote some of the biggest songs there for Squatter Camp, you know. And as that blew, I don't know how it worked. Like, once again, God was speaking to me, because I never left the music, because who knew that who knew we'd sell rap music in South Africa? No one ever did that. But clearly it was my path. And if I stopped, that means Squatter Camp would have never, ever even sold. You know what I mean? So that happened. We sold records. And once again, I can't say it was me. But as I grow, I realize God kept me in that studio. Because I had friends I could have gone and we could have like broken to house. Guys who literally would jump on my songs at the end. Guys who literally got into trouble with the law in many ways. Mm. That was my relationship. But they were my friends.
But your commitment here is remarkable. So
I wasn't even aware that I'm committed. Mm. I wasn't even aware. I literally just love just like sitting and just making. There was no thought of me like I'm pulling away from what my friends are doing. I just got consumed in that. But so I wasn't even aware, you know what I mean? And whether my brother was doing IT and gave me a little computer, whether I went to Jam Alley and got my money, whether I met Lebo, because I met Lebo by chance also. He just moved into Leandale. We used to play arcade. I went there and I saw this guy playing arcade. I'm like, aren't you the guy on TV? And like, you know, I don't know what, I think I took his bike. I don't know where I went with it. And he thought it was stolen. I said, no, it's here. And I don't know. We just built a relationship. Everyone that came in my life, literally like, were pieces for my life to be better, because my parents couldn't do it for me.
What is it? What's that saying? Coincidence is where God chooses to remain anonymous, right?
Yeah.
This is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Let's fast forward very quickly, because we're running out of time.
Which
is really, really sad, because it's a fantastic story that you're sharing, and insight that you're sharing. Pull us into the businessman you now. Slicker the businessman versus the artist.
So interesting thing is that as when this rap thing started picking up, I was still working at a company called Xerox called Bytes now. I was earning like 3K, and I used to be called sort of like a computer engineer, but all I did, they were a printing company, obviously. I used to carry big reams of boxes to like the fourth floor at Vitz, you know, push like, and then connect the printers. But more than anything, I was just picking up boxes of papers, you know, and reams of papers, taking, because they had different printer machines like across every department there. So you know how big Vitz is. You know, you're literally like walking around with these things.
Yeah, so,
you know?
So no need for gym for you. That's serious work.
This, by the way, I also, because I went to a multiracial school, my view on life is wider than many other black kids. Mm-hmm. So I already know that, damn, I'm a failure. You know, I already know. You know that, like, you know.
Is that what you thought? You thought you were a failure at that point?
Well, I thought that, like, yo, I don't... Like, I'm going to end up like all my friends or whatever. But but this can't be life where you are literally taking boxes and putting them in a printer. There was no way I could go further because I don't have the education. And we've been told that's how you move forward. So these kids, like, literally, what I was trying to get to is that, like, my father, when the rap thing started happening, and I'm still catching taxis, and I'm famous, we got this big song, Omoya, but because I'm earning this 3,000, when you haven't had money, 3,000 is 300,000, you know? So the rap money is like, I'm never touching that. So I made my first 100,000, and I went to my father, who had taxis, and I said, yo, dude, I got 100,000, it's crazy, you know? I just had 100,000, and I wanted to tell someone, and I could only tell my parents. You know, and my father literally hustled me, and he said, you know, his taxis were all like messed up, you know, and he was like, yeah, you know, if you can put it on a buy a taxi, you know. And my father, I literally made a deal with my father, and this is where I tell everybody that my father would have never screwed me over by choice.
Sure.
But if I never made the deal, he would have screwed me over without him knowing. Because my father wasn't putting money in the bank. He just put his money in a blazer, blah, blah. So what he did, I said, you handle the streets, as in like the taxi rank. Let me handle the business. So all the money that comes through, you give it to me. I'll put it. And he was like a bit like, but it was something that he wasn't used to, right? You know, he's been doing this for 10, 12 years. He always has the money. So I disempowered him, and I said, if I put my money, this is what I want. That was my first negotiation of a deal. If I never negotiated that, he would have screwed me without him knowing. So
yeah, just absolute ignorance,
exactly,
right? Naivety almost.
Exactly. So then, you know, we grew to 3, 4, 5 taxis because I was handling the business. He was handling the streets, you know. And so that for me was a huge lesson that moving forward in life, people can't sit there and say, I was screwed, I was screwed, I was screwed. Always know what you walk yourself into. Always put in the work. Get your hands dirty.
Take
so you know what the worth of what it is, you know.
So
I learned from my father there, just moving on as in any other type of business. Everything I do, am I well informed, you know? If I'm not informed, let me stay back and let me learn the game, you know? And that's just how it is, you know? You learn, you meet the right people. Right now, we got Slick On Live as a platform. It's the biggest platform. It's like a digital agency behind it. And we're selling solutions just that come together with culture. So, you know, like I said, even the agencies that we've been built, they weren't built of anything that we can say. They built off a global story, a global pride. Like Cliff Central is an African and South African pride. We also have a job to help brands tell a story that comes from a South African space of pride.
Do you know what's so frustrating about this conversation is that we've run out of time.
Slicker.
But what's so nice about it is that we get to have you back in studio, I think ASAP, so that we can do a part two and continue this conversation.
Yes,
because
you've
highlighted some fundamental key points during this discussion where people really must understand what their identity is. They must be able to stick to it. There must be a certain kind of
work ethic.
Thank you very much. So let's stop here.
Yeah.
Let's do a part two where we talk about the business, how you got into it, what you've been able to do, because we've unfortunately run out of time now.
It's all good.
And our guest
is giving us dirty looks. We love your story. And you know
what?
People don't necessarily buy onto what you're doing for Africa and African continent. They buy into your journey. And future CEOs, we have bought listening to your journey and we want to hear more.
Thank you.
All the best and congratulations on 3 years.
Yeah, happy birthday.
We love you. Thank you.
I didn't ask you to sing.
We don't have time for other guests. We love you, Sticker. Thank you for coming onto the show.
Thank you for the time.
All right, we'll be back after this short break. Chat to you then. CliffCentral.com.